book of Ruth, chapter 3, and we will read from verse 10 onwards to verse 18. Ruth, chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." And also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" She told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the things this day." May the Lord add his blessings upon the reading of this verse. In this last section of chapter 3, we see the answer that came to Ruth for the action that she performed. We had divided this chapter 3 into 3 sections in the beginning. In the first section, that is 1 to 5, we saw the advice that Naomi giving advice unto Ruth for pleading. And then after that, the portion that we considered last week, that is 6 to 9, there we saw her action in the pleading. Just as Naomi asked her to do, she did it all. So if she has put that appeal before Boaz according to the advice of Naomi, then there should be an answer to that, a reply to that. So in the portion that we read just now, it is 10 to 18, we have the answer. I call it as answer to the pleading. And when you look at this answer, we see that the answer itself is twofold. In 10 to 15, we see the answer of Boaz. That's all that he said unto her in that field. And then from 16 to 18, we see the answer of Naomi herself. After she did all that according to her instruction, she came back home, and we see certain things being told by Naomi unto Ruth. That also we can take as the answer to the pleading. We're taking it together. Before we come to the details of it, as we often do, we'll just have a look at what we studied in our last class. We were in verses 6 to 9 in the last week. As I said, there we see the action
in the pleading. As we noticed, she was under great pressure, stress. And the reason for that also we had noticed, she make a mistake, it's going to be give much damage in every way. So she was very careful, under great stress and pressure in the darkness. And as we noticed, we are what we are in the time of stress and pressure. And here we see her exhibiting certain characteristics under this pressure, even in those times. And we can assume that that is actually the character of Ruth. When it's good time, well, everyone are very good. Now, when we are all in the assembly hall, we are all very what? Spiritual, right? Just like Lord Jesus Christ. But to see whether we are Christ-like or not, well, the test should not be done in the assembly hall, but it should be done in other times when we are under pressure. We exhibit what we are actually when we are under burden. So if you look at this lady, Ruth, how she behaved in that dark night in that winnowing field under great pressure, it actually shows what she actually was. And we saw certain characteristics that was very much expressed. Number one is the submission. And number two is the patience which she exhibited there. And number three, the vigilance. And number four, the trust. That we've seen in the New Testament, we see all these characteristics are being expected from every believer. Not when the times are good, but even when we are under pressure. May God give us grace that as the children of God, we may exhibit this godly characteristic through our day-to-day life. Now coming to this portion that we read, that is answer to the pleading. As I said, here we see the answer of Boaz and the answer of Naomi also. And when you put together, we see for this answers, there are at least four characteristics which we can see. And when you look at Lord Jesus Christ, well, we see that His dealings with us are also with all those characteristics. Look at the first one. Verse 10. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. Blessed be thou. Or happy be thou. That's the first response. The first response to the appeal that she made. We can call it as what? A cheering answer. Blessed be thou. Or be thou happy. A cheering answer. Now look at verses 11 to 13. There what we see is, and now my daughter, fear not. And when you look at the following words, we see why she should not fear. You can call it as comforting answer. Fear not. Comforting answer. Cheering answer. Comforting answer. Now come to verses 14 to 17. 14 to 17. Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. We have that in verse 17. There are other things also. There we see what? Cheering. Comforting. Yeah? Caring answer. Caring answer. His care. There are various other things also in care. We'll see it later. And now come to verse 18. Where we see she has reached home and definitely she is with great excitement because things have worked out very well, more than what she expected. And now look at verse 18. Then said she, that is Naomi to Ruth, the mother-in-law to the daughter-in-law, sit still, my daughter. You call it what? Sit still, or be still. In other words, starting with the calming act. So we see the answer or the response of Naomi and Boaz unto Ruth. And we see for that response or for that answer, there's four characteristics. Cheering answer, comforting answer, caring answer, and calming answer. And as I mentioned, when you look at our Lord Jesus Christ, our Boaz, we see that his dealings are always with these four characteristics. He cheers us, he comforts us, he cares for us, and he calms us. Now let's look at a little more detail. Coming to the first one, verse 10. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Boaz is referring to the kindness that she showed. Thou hast showed more kindness in the latter than at the beginning. She showed kindness in the beginning. It's a reference to what? Come to chapter 1, verse 8. Those are the words of Naomi in Moab. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. That's about both the daughters-in-law. They both have been good to Naomi and also to their husbands while they were there in Moab. So in chapter 1 itself we have a reference to their kindness there. Now when you come to chapter 2, we have a reference of Ruth's kindness. That's in chapter 2 and verse 11. There we read like this. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and hast come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. That's specially about the kindness that she showed towards Naomi, mother-in-law. So chapter 1 we see something that's told by Naomi itself. And here chapter 2 we see something that's told by Boaz. Now when you come to this chapter 3, we see the reference to that again. In the beginning thou hast been kind. And now, in the latter end, you have shown what? More kindness. More kindness to whom? More kindness to whom? To Naomi. Because the good of all these things that's going to happen, even Naomi is also going to share in it. So now at the latter end, you're showing more kindness. And another thing we have to notice is this. Here, when he is appreciating her step, he is telling that like this. This kindness you have shown, how? In aspect as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. We noticed earlier also, while she was gleaning, she was with the servants. And many laborers were there, and many fields around that around that field was there. So she could have turned to any place. She could have gone after anyone. A lot of contacts she has got, but she did not go after anyone. You did not go after any poor or rich. To know the greatness of this deed that Ruth did, there is another thing we have to notice over here. Now, look at this man, Boaz. He says that you did not go after the rich and the poor. Now, who is he? In which category does he fall? He is rich. So is she not after the rich? Yes, she is after the rich, but it is not the wealth that motivated her to go after him. It was what? It was what? The law. The law. What law? The kinsman redeemed. It is the word of God that has motivated her. Not the wealth, not the riches, nothing else. It is the word. And it is in that we see the greatness of the step that she has taken. And it is that which Boaz is appreciating her. Blessed art thou, my daughter. Because you have taken the right step. You have come after God's law. You are after the word of God. You have taken the step according to the word of God. Of course, that word of God came to her through Naomi's advice, no doubt about it, but she followed it. And that made her to hear the cheering answer. And let me tell you one thing. If we follow after God's word, that's exactly what we too are going to be. A cheering answer. Blessed art thou. What are we after? The world or the word? Remember Psalm 1? Psalm 1, the first two verses. There we see the description of the blessed. Are the same word, right? Who is the blessed one? Want to read it? Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Let me read like this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This describes Ruth's step. She did not go after the ungodly. She did not stand in the way of sinners. And she did not sit in the seat of the scornful. All this she could have done in the field and out of the field. But we see, as we see in verse 2, she delighted in the law of the Lord which came to her through her mother-in-law. Psalmist says, such a blessed. That's exactly what Boaz also says. Blessed art thou. Why? You have come here according to the word of God. May God give us grace that we may also give the right place for God's word in our life. And if we do it, we are blessed. Happy are we. That's the way to joy, happiness. Let me tell you one thing. If all that we say and believe about God's word is true, the joy that we should have in our day-to-day life should be definitely more than what we see now. Am I right? What do we see about God's word? What is it? What is it?
God's word, right?
It's God's word. Inspired.
A lot of things we say about God's word.
We have it in our language. We have many copies in our home, right? But how much do we delight in it? Or if all that we say really do believe all that, definitely we should give the word of God a greater place in our life, and there should be more joy in our life because of our meditation upon it. Otherwise it's a contradiction. I'm not telling that I am having it and you all don't have it, so try. No, I'm also including myself also, I am the same group. We, all of us, ought to have a greater joy, a greater dependence upon God's word, if all that we say about it is true. You remember in chapter 8 of Acts, maybe you may have seen this before also, there we see the gospel reaching Samaria from Jerusalem, where the people got scattered. And the people there received God's word through the preaching. And what was the result? In verse 8 we have it. All the city, what? Rejoice. There was joy in the city. They accepted God's word. God's word cheers us. Rejoices our heart. Psalm 19, Psalm 119, and all that speaks a lot about it. And when you come to the end of that chapter, that is verse 39, there we see a man who obeyed God's word and he went on his way. Remember the next word? Rejoicing. Who was that? The eunuch. He accepted the word, he obeyed the word and was baptized, and he went on his way rejoicing. We see the city rejoice and an individual also rejoicing. Same thing, the two things comes in the same chapter. When we obey God's word collectively, we will rejoice together. When we obey it individually, well, we will be able to enjoy it individually. Gives personal and collective joy. That's what the searing answer speaks to us. Let's go further. Verses 11 to 13. There we see the comforting answer. And now my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people that know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night. And it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. Here we have the comforting answer. He says, fear not. Definitely that woman is very much fearful because she is in a great stress, pressure in acting out that advice that is given by Naomi. We have seen the details of it. So sensing that, here Barbara is telling, fear not. That is to strengthen her. And now when you look at this portion, we see certain things that might have definitely strengthened her, comforted her. What all other things? In that words, in what all she might have found comfort? The main thing is the promise. What is the promise? I will do thee all that thou requirest. I will do. She repeats that at the end of it, end of verse 13. If he will not do the part of the kinsman, then will I do. So twice we have the promise. I will do. I will do. Call it as the comfort and promise.
the comfort and promise.
Number two, look at the second portion of verse 11.
All the city of my people that know that thou art a virtuous woman.
It's a word of praise, right?
Everyone knows that you are a virtuous woman. The city of my people should be the gate of my people, or the people at the gate, or the people at the gate of the city. It's a place where people used to come together for socializing. The evening, everyone used to come together. And everyone there knew about Ruth and all her acts. So Wallace is telling, all know that you are a virtuous woman.
Another thing we have to remember,
this word virtuous is the same word which I consider in chapter 2 and verse 1, which is rendered as wealthy. And a man of wealth.
Chapter 2 and verse 1.
And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth. The same word. This word, as we have seen while we are considering that portion, can be rendered as wealth, virtue, and such things. Valor and such things. The same word rendered over here also. You are a virtuous woman. Or we can put it this way, what's told about Boaz is now told about Ruth also. Or here we see a woman that's now befitting unto Boaz. Maybe the Spirit has brought this word over here in preparation for chapter 4, when she is going to become his wife. And this word of praise might have comforted her again. We can say like this, comfort and praise, comfort and promise, comfort and praise. There is one more thing that we can notice. Look at the beginning of verse 13. There it says, tarry this night and it shall be in the morning. Oh, when am I going to do the things concerning you? In the morning. The next morning. That means there's no delay going to be for this matter. I'm going to deal it tomorrow morning itself. There we see the promptness, comfort and promptness. It's going to be a prompt action without any delay. So comfort and promise, comfort and praise, and comfort and promptness. So Boaz tells, fear not. And as I mentioned, well, all these things we can connect with the Lord dealing with us also. Think about His promises. The scripture is filled with promises, and all His promises are yea and amen. He shall not go back from anything that He said. He says, I will do. We can depend upon His promises. As we noticed before also, well, in the scripture, where we find the promises beginning with fear not, how many? I think we had mentioned that before also. 365 promises like that. Now where fear not is being added. That means every day you have one to pick up. Throughout the year. And the next year you begin with these first again. Throughout your life you can meditate upon the promises. God shall not go back from the promises that He has given. We can take comfort in His promises. And then the comfort in praise. As I mentioned, here we see a woman are the comparables to that man. And think about what Christ is doing for us. He is washing us. He is cleansing us. And the day is going to come when we shall be presented before Himself without any blemish, without any blot. The Lord is working it out. And think about the promise. He shall not delay in what He is doing. He shall do things in its own time. He acts everything in its due time. That's what we see in the scripture. And when you look at this, well, we also have got something to take comfort in. The cheering answer is for us. Comforting answer is for us. Come to the next one. What's the next? The caring answer. The caring answer. Notice two, three things over there. Number one, look at the last portion of verse 14. The Bible says, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Is the care for what? The care for what? Care for their reputation. And there is another care also that we have to remember there. Now, she has put forward her appeal. And appeal is for that redemption. That he should fulfill the role of kinsman redeemer. According to the Jewish law, if it's proved that there was some wrong, illicit relationship before that redemption was perfected, then that redemption itself will become null and void. He cannot redeem that woman. So it must be probably for that care that he's saying, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Care for the reputation. Then look at verse 17. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Is the care for? The care for? Their well-being, their well-being. There is one more care that we can think of, that's from the mother-in-law side, in verse 16 we have it. Now Ruth has reached Naomi, and now she says like this, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. Who art thou, my daughter? Why this question? She calls her my daughter. That means, she recognized that it is Ruth. Then why she is asking this first part of it? Who art thou? Now one explanation is it was early in the morning, but even before putting on the light, she opened on the door. She could not see clearly who was standing there, so she asked this question. Probably it's right. But when you think about that verse, my daughter, well, we can understand that she recognized who is standing there, but then she still asked that question, the part of the question, who art thou? And we had to explain that then. What's the reason for that part? Who art thou? But the reason for that may be there. She is asking for her status now. Who art thou now? Are you still a widow? Did you get it? She left the home as what? The day before that? As a widow. And she has gone to the field for what? To plead for a redemption. That Boaz may marry her and make her his wife. That was the purpose. Now she is asking, who art thou? Or has is there any change in your status now? What has happened? Most probably that is the explanation for this question, because immediately after that we see like this, and she told her all that the man had done to her. If the question was without recognition, the first answer to that should be what? I am Ruth, your daughter-in-law. But in answer, that's not what she's telling. What she said was all that he did unto her. If it is an inquiry as to the status of the new status of this woman, then we can say that Naomi is showing a care for her status. Care for the reputation, care for the well-being, care for the status. In all these answers, what we see is the caring answer. Especially look at the second one. They care for the well-being. Before she left the field, Boaz is telling, bring the rail that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And we are told that, and then she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. 6 measures of barley. How much is it? We do not know what this measure is. But it's commonly understood that it is siyah. And if it is siyah, then it is about 40 kilos put together. 6 measures means 40 kilos of barley. That's why he put it on her. That means she cannot lift it by herself. It is a big load. He put it on her. Naomi's empty days are over. What did she say in chapter 1? When she came back from Moab, she reached Bethlehem and all the people came around. And then verse 21 she says, I went out full and the Lord brought me home again empty. I went out full, now I come empty. Naomi's empty days are over. One thing we should remember, all those who come from Moab can come only as empty. But all those who come from Boaz's field comes full. Their empty days are over. All this speaks about the blessings, the bounty that we enjoy through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's us. And there's another thing we have to notice over here. When you look at verse 14, we see, she lay at his feet until the morning. She lay at his feet until the morning. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 17. 2 and 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. She gleaned in the field until evening. Here we see she lay at his feet until the morning. If you put together both these statements, we see the two aspects of the Christian living. On the one side, our work. On the other side, our watching. We work in the day. And the night is going to come when no one shall be able to work. So when you think about the work that we have to do, we are in the daytime. And when you think of all the work that we have to do, well, we should remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the day is what? Far spent. Remember that? The day is far spent. Night is coming when no one will be able to work. It's a day time which is given for us to work. She gleaned until the evening. After the evening we cannot work. So we have to use all the time that's given to us. At the same time we are in the night also. That's watching for the dawn when he shall come. And that's what we see here in chapter 3 and verse 40. She lay at his feet until the morning. It's the darkness. He is not seen, and she is also not seen. Until the morning. That speaks about this time of rejection. No one is seeing the beauty of Lord Jesus Christ. And we too are hidden in Him and with Him. But a day is going to come when He shall appear, tell me, in glory. Chapter 3 of Colossians. So two aspects of Christian living, working and watching. So the caring answers, care for reputation, care for well-being, and care for the status. The Lord cares for us. Let's go further. Coming to the fourth one. As I mentioned here, we see the calming answer. Verse 18. Then said she, that's Naomi, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be at rest until he have finished the thing this day. It's a very beautiful verse. Sit still. The mention, she is all excited. Things have worked out very well in the field. She has now come back with cheerfulness. She has come back with much comfort. And she has now experienced all this care of him and her. She has now forgotten that trouble she had in the night because of that sleepless night. She might not have slept in the night. But here we see Naomi comfort, calming her now. Sit still. Be calm. Be cool. Why? For the man will not be in rest. You rest, for he will not be in rest. Until he has finished the thing this day. And when you look at it, we see direct application to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect servant. And he did not rest until he finished the thing that he took upon him to fulfill. When you come to Genesis chapter 2, we see after all the work, in chapter 2, the Lord entered into his Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. He entered into rest. But in chapter 3 we see the fall into sin. And then the following chapters we don't see any mention of the rest at all. When there is unrest in the creation, God cannot rest. And the mention of the Sabbath is again only in the book of Exodus, after the redemption of the people was completed. And then come to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who does all things perfect. He took upon him the work of redemption. He said, here I come to do thy will. And when you look at the cross of Calvary, we see a rest that he took. He said, what? It is finished. And then we see him ascended, and he sat down on the right hand of majesty. He has finished the work and he has sat down. And when you come to chapter 4 of Hebrews, we are encouraged to enter into that rest. Here we see Naomi telling about Boaz. He will not rest until he has finished. And one thing we have to remember, well, though the work of redemption is complete, as far as our body is concerned, well, that redemption is not us. Experienced in our life, even that he shall fulfill one day, and we shall enter into all the blessings of redemption. And we are waiting for that day. Romans 8. You remember that verse in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6? What is it? Philippians 1 and 6. The Paul says that we have this confidence. What confidence? He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. He that has begun shall perform it. Here, Barnabas has begun something and Naomi says, he shall perform it. Psalm 138 and verse 8, he shall come perfect that which concerneth us. That's the promise that we have. And it's not only about redemption, but all that concerning us, we shall perform. May God give us grace that we may also take courage. We may also calm down rather than being excited about the things that's happening around or in our own life. Sit still. Or be still and know that He is what? God. God of our life. Before I close, I just want to bring to your attention another thing. Notice that word until. Until he has finished the thing this day. Until. In this first three chapters, we see that word until occurring about 9 times. In chapter 1, verse 19, you have it. That is, they came until they came to Bethlehem. That's about Ruth and Naomi. They came until they came to Bethlehem. The second one you have in chapter 2 and verse 7, that speaks about gleaning until the evening. That's Ruth in the field. And then the words of the servant, she gleaned in the field until even. That's chapter 2 and verse 17. The second one was chapter 2 and verse 7. The third one, chapter 2 and verse 17. And the fourth one is chapter 2 and verse 21. Keep fast by the young men until they have entered. That's the words of Boaz unto Ruth. Then in chapter 3 and verse 3 we have, until he have done eating and drinking. Then 6th one, chapter 3 and verse 13, lie down until the morning. Then chapter 3 and verse 14, at his feet until the morning. Then 8th and 9th you have in chapter 3 and verse 18, until thou know and until he have finished. If you put together all these references, it brings before us the whole story of Ruth from Moab unto the redemption. From Moab to redemption. Or as someone said, here what we have is a pilgrim's progress. Here we have the pilgrim's progress from Moab until she has finished all things. That's our story. We are the pilgrims. May God give us grace that we may know this truth. That I said all this had got something to do with us in our relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the advice that was given to her. And we saw how she acted in that field. And this evening we were looking at the answer that she received. We saw the four characteristics of that answer. Number one, cheering answer. It's because of her obedience to the law. And secondly, comforting answer. Thirdly, caring answer. Fourthly, calming answer. The Lord comes, the Lord cares for us, and He comforts us, and He cheers our heart. May God give us grace that we may enjoy it in the days to come. That we may enjoy this answer in our day-to-day lives practically and glorify the Lord. May the Lord bless His word into our lives.